But just up the road in the 1940s, they discovered a necropolis, a place of the dead. And I'm showing you this because this is really, really unusual. This would have been a burial chamber, one assumes, for a young man. And I've got several versions I can flip back and forth. What we're looking at here is basically a box. So imagine a coffin. And so it's decorated on all sides inside. So all four sides inside. And it's then decorated also on the roof. It is a young man, without any doubt. It's a young man who presumably had quite a hedonistic lifestyle. Here we have a character with a lyre, so musicians, and these guys are carrying their drinking cups. And this, by the way, is dating back again to the 5th century, so the late 400s, again, before the birth of Christ. So these guys are playing a game called Cottabus. Again, probably not come across Cottabus, but it basically involves throwing the dregs of your wine and seeing if you can hit a target, particularly sensible. Typical boy game. Sorry, boys. One of those things. But the real joy of this is that we have on the roof of this little tomb was this carving, this picture, sorry. So very, very unusual. I said about 480, 470. We don't find painted things like this in Greece and Rome. It doesn't happen. And what we think is happening here is that this is a personification of the young man who has died. And this is not a diving board. I think that's the first thing. Oh, it's a diving board. No, it's almost certainly a dividing line between living and dying. So this is a young man that's heading off into the other world, which is spectacular, isn't it? And there are several other tombs painted just as beautifully, but the tomb of the diver is the one that is fantastically famous here. And I'd say beautifully displayed in this museum. However, it is time for us to get back into our little train. And we're going to take ourselves around the bay and just beyond Naples. I thought we'd drop off and have a look at a volcano because I didn't want to climb Vesuvius today. I'm feeling a bit lazy. I thought we'd go to Solfatara. And Solfatara is part of what are called the Phrygian Fields. Phrygian Fields. I can get a syllable out on that one. And this is an area that, again, Virgil, the great Roman poet, talks about. This is where the lives of the dead meet the lives of the living. So this is where, first of all, the home of Vulcan. He's volcano, it's all in the name, I think you'll agree. So the home of Vulcan. And possibly, and this is that's a bit more fun, in the year 305 of our era this time, this is where the local patron saint, Saint Januarius, couldn't make that one up, could I, was actually beheaded. But why are we here? Well, because although the volcano has not erupted for an awfully long time, we have little bits of steam still escaping from the earth here. And perhaps I should say at this point that although Vesuvius destroyed the town of Pompeii back in 79 of our era, Vesuvius has continued to erupt with depressing regularity ever since. Last eruption was in the 1940s. The next eruption is seriously overdue. So just hold that thought. And volcanologists are very much in position up at the top of Vesuvius with all of their instrumentation in there, hoping that the next eruption is not one as big as the one that destroyed Pompeii way back in 79. Let's come back to Solfatara for a second. Pretty much wherever you go, you've got steam. And I have to tell you, it's really stinky as well. It's not the most pleasant place to be. Mud pools, bubbling. I think you can imagine bubbling all sorts of gunk out of there. And lovely smells. Lots of mud, which is medicinal, apparently. And they've also mined things like kaolin out here as well. So very, very rich in minerals. But the fun thing really is it's just so remote and so almost otherworldly. In fact, the 1940s version of War of the Worlds, the movie, was filmed out in the Phrygian field. I left a syllable out of that one as well, out here. But it's still very much steaming. you know, the steam comes through, it's all very gunky. And in fact, they did stop doing this now, actually. But the last time I was there, which rather scary 10 years ago, there was this lovely gentleman who rolled up his daily newspaper and sort of thrust it into a pile of steam, and the whole thing burst into flames. It was all very dramatic. It's scary, but very dramatic. So let's get ourselves back to Naples. I think you've all been very patient, actually. We're going back to Naples. And Naples, I said, was a many-layered city, many-layered city. And in fact, everywhere you go, you will find that there are sotterranea. You can actually go down into the bowels of the city where they've got all sorts of caves, all sorts of remains and things. But I thought we'd do something a little bit more quirky this evening. I thought that rather than taking ourselves to the conventional undergrounds, we would go to the modern underground. So we are going quite literally into the underground system. And the reason I'm doing this is that the Neapolitans have a really big deal here. They really want to make their metro the art metro. Now, they only started really having their metro in the 1970s, so way, way after ours, obviously, in this country. But they call it the art metro. And at the moment, they've got, at last count anyway, over 180 pieces of art scattered through their metro stations. So let's have a look randomly, actually, at one or two of them. Even the escalators are beautifully lit, as you can see, and they've been in collaboration with all sorts of other artists, well-known artists. In fact, Anish Kapoor, remember him, has popped up with a couple of artworks down here. And they've also been in collaboration with the local art colleges as well to try and do interesting things with their escalators and so on. So I'm not going to make a big fuss about any individual station, but just a general wander through gives you a really good flavour of just how much fun it is to actually travel on the underground here. I said I would talk a little bit about how Naples' reputation is not so great. Naples has a reputation of being very much part of the mafia in that part of Italy. And in fact, up until very recently, they also had a reputation of being very, very low in employment. So high unemployment, very poor area. But investment in things like the metro has given them, I guess, a bit more of an impetus to get themselves going. So very much of a changed place. It's certainly not the no-go area it would have been, but if any of you are going to answer me on this one, not the no-go area it would have been perhaps in the early 1980s here. Are we starting to think that maybe the metro might be a destination? Just have a little look. I just love this one. It's just so evocative, isn't it? Things you leave behind on the underground there. And again, various characters, some of whom you may recognise. A little bit disquieting, that one, not so sure about that. But again, various different designs coming through. And I just want to look at a couple of underground stations, actually, just before we finish off. We've come into Università, so the one that's nearest to the university, on this one. And this is a collaboration with a man called Karim Rashid. And we've got this amazing geometric, I guess, learning idea of the floor levels here, and these great figures that look a bit like should be in Doctor Who, don't they, actually? Torian and Steele, a conversational profile. And just beside it, this little beastie is known as Synapse. Again, quite striking as you make your way through it. And again, the next station, we're heading now to Toledo. You know, men at work, okay? Different colours depending on where you're heading. This one, quite spectacular, I think you will agree. And Toledo Station, and again, did anybody know they did this? Won the title of most beautiful underground station in Europe. And that included a certain newspaper called the Daily Telegraph, which some of you will know. And actually, it is spectacular. So a couple of views of this one. This is Oscar Tusquets Blanca, okay, 2012. And I've got a couple more views of this one to give you an idea of how it works. And in fact, you have a different colour depending on which layer you're in. So it's a great fun one. Anyway, out into the open air. I think it's time we did that, isn't it? Back out into the rather wonderful outside alleyways of Napoli. And I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel a little bit hungry. So yes, it's all very pretty. We love the flowers, no probs, but we're starving to death. And of course, Naples is the home of the pizza. And again, I suspect there may be some arguments involved with that one as well. Many other places claim to have invented the pizza, but Naples is the place that has the pizza, best pizza in the world contest every year. And you can actually go to the restaurant where allegedly the pizza was born. Well, it's been a long day, hasn't it? So the sun's gone down. We're looking over at the dome of the cathedral. I think it's time to get ourselves back into the airport and fly ourselves to wherever it is that we've just come from. We managed to pack quite a lot into our day, didn't we, there? I think you'll agree. So we've got home and we are going to see if anybody has any questions. Ooh.